It was an old farmhouse, 100 acres. It was gorgeous. It was a gorgeous place. All right, I'm on air. They're going to be wondering what I was talking about there. All right, let's turn to 2 Thessalonians 2. I promise you this. This is the last time you're going to hear 2 Thessalonians for a while, because I am just so tired of going over this stuff. It's the last thing that I wanted to cover, and it sort of fits the whole puzzle together, what we've been talking about. It's so refreshing anymore, Bible study, or even talking with people here just about Scripture. The political wrangling and the crazy ideas and things that are going on in Washington about now roads and bridges are racist and just nonsense stuff. And it's nice to just open your Bible and have something that, since I've been a child, has been consistent and true all the time. And it is just relaxing for me anymore just to open it up, and it's my escape to get my mind off everything else, and I really do enjoy this. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 2, looking at verse 1. There's one particular phrase that we're going to be looking at. It's the only thing I've never covered yet, and we're going to cover it today. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Let's bow our hearts in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you once again that we can open your word and we can depend on its accuracy and on its infallibility. As we know it, it is your words sent to us and preserved in this book. And as we study this term falling away, Lord, that we follow it according to your plan, according to your word, and according to your truth. In our Lord and Savior's name we pray, amen. Now the term falling away, this is the term that many people run to out of most of all the terms in Scripture, in this particular passage. And a lot of people claim put a lot of different tags on this term, falling away. Matter of fact, the one thing I've noticed now since I've studied down through this, that you look at the falling away, they either say it's the Gentiles, or they either say it's the nation Israel, or it's the church, the body of Christ. You get down into verse 7, you begin looking at, what I look at is Satan, or you're looking at the body of Christ, that it's being caught away. There's just mismatch bunch of ideas that are people are trying to shove into this passage. And I believe that this passage is talking about one event, the day that Jesus Christ comes in His wrath. Now, we studied a couple weeks ago, we studied verse 1 and 2. And we've seen it's now, therefore, it says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto you. He says, now, in light of what has been said, from 2 Thessalonians 1, our rest and His coming in flaming fire, we're going to now show you some things about this. And the people of Thessalonica were frightened that that day was coming before their rest. They were worried about that. And He says here in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, what's that next word? Except. That word except simply is in condition of certain things. Except this happened and this happens. And it's the falling away, and it's, what's that last part of that word? First. The falling away first has got to happen. Now, there's three theories that I've seen out there. Mainly, one group of our guys say it's the nation Israel, based on Matthew 24, which I disagree with, have a lot of respect for them. I'm not criticizing, just giving a different frame of thought on this. Some say it's the Gentile world that'll fall away. And I've heard other grace believers say it's the church, the body of Christ, being raptured off the earth. Or falling into apostasy. We can almost prove that the church falls into apostasy, but does it do it before and with the man of sin? And I didn't find anything about that. But the word catching is, the word catching, I mean the falling away, is simply apostatizing. It means falling from one position to another. So falling away is leaving something. The falling simply means from one position to another. You're taking an you're apostatizing from one issue to another issue, from one position to another position. Doesn't always mean from the things of God in Scripture. A lot of people mean apostatizing means you're rejecting the oracles of God to follow Satan. Most people give that definition to it in some means like that. But it doesn't always mean that. In a way, it just simply means absent, at a distance. The master is away from his home. I am away from my home. I'm absent from where it's at. So when you fall away, you're changing a position and you're absent from where you were before. So this term can go absent. This one is leaving. You're leaving and you're absent from something. Now look at 1 Thessalonians 4. Now I'm just going to dispel this right away. I've heard some pastors, some in this area and some other pastors, think that this falling away simply means, really means catching away. Some that are strong King James Bible believers will even say, well, that's another archaic word, falling. We need to change it to catching. And I think, no, wait a minute here. Falling means leaving, descending, or apostatizing. It doesn't mean you're being lifted up. It means you're leaving one thought and decreasing to another. And that can fit a lot of different categories. I can see why people play with this. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4. Look at verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up to gather with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So this being caught up is a difference from falling down or apostatizing from one position to another. This in no way caught can be an apostatizing. Because we're leaving from one position we are to a new position, but it's not decreasing, but ascending and increasing in glory, something better. So it's not apostatizing. But we're leaving, and we're it's an apostate position where we decrease in thinking or in power. When you, like Dave, he got an election. I'm trying to think of examples. He ran against the Democrat incumbent, Mr. Hoover. When Mr. Hoover lost 68% of the vote, did he get caught up to something better? Or did he apostate to something less? Something less. That's what the word falling means. That's simple. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Look at verse 24. But if all prophesy... Verse 24, 14 to 24. If all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, and is convinced of all, but he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report to God, is in you of truth. So when he received the word, did he fall up or did he fall down? So every time you look at this word fall, it's never associated with an upward direction or an increase in power or an increase of political stance. It's always decreasing your posture before something. This man understood the truth and fell down an apostate state, rendering to somebody else. So hopefully that helps a little bit with all that. So is the falling away Israel? They say before Jesus Christ can come, Israel must fall away. Now that's a very common teaching around us. And I've never agreed with it. That always never really I understood that. This falling away, could it be Israel? Let's go to Romans 11. In Romans 11, it always seems this chapter seems to always be in the background or in the back of your mind every time you study 2 Thessalonians 2. This one always comes to mind in these issues. Look at verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I am also an Israelite, the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people. Now, Romans 11 uses a term. Cast away. It's absent. He took it in. He politically and spiritually had cast away Israel. There was an apostate happening here with the nation Israel. They cast away Israel. Go down to verse 11. We're not going to study Romans 11. We did that a while back. Verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should what? Fall. So we have defining this term. Casting away is falling. It is a fall when you're cast away. You are falling. Look at verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved, that is written, there shall come out of the Zion the deliverer, who shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So these people, matter of fact, if you go back, verse 20. Well, because of what? They were broken off. Verse 20. They were broken off. The different terms that coincide with another. And they did it in verse 26, it was ungodliness. And in verse 20, it was also in unbelief. Is that what I want? Yeah. Sorry about that. Unbelief. So because of unbelief and ungodliness, they were cast away. They had a falling in verse 11, and they were broken off. They had fallen away. They left, they apostatized from one position to another, and they were absent from their present position. That's what they were. So far, that all matches up with the falling away. But verse 26, when are they returned to a belief, and they're no longer considered in an ungodless state? In verse 26, it tells you when. When they are delivered and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And when is that? When he comes in flaming fire, taking vengeance of those who do not God. All ungodliness is wiped away, 2 Thessalonians 1. And Israel does not leave this state, this position, until God comes back and he puts them in that position. So the idea that somehow there must be a falling away first, Israel must first have a fallen away state. They're already in that. They've been in that since Romans 11, since the stoning of Stephen, the introduction of Paul, and grace was introduced. There is no state for them. Matter of fact, the Gentiles take a little rise in power. They're still in an ungodly state since Adam. So the Gentile nations fell at Adam. They're in an ungodless state. Israel fell at the stoning of Stephen. They're in an ungodless state. And we know the church is going to be in an ungodless state at the end of grace. We're going to look at that here in a little bit. So the falling away for Israel does not match. For me, it doesn't. Now, there may be some other things that maybe I'm not looking at. If you know them, let me know. But the ungodless state of Israel is not there. Matter of fact, let's read down here, verse 27. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. As touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. Israel is obtaining mercy through the church today. As far as their position and status as a nation, they won't see that until the coming of Jesus Christ. After His wrath. Not before His wrath. So the falling away first can't be Israel, because it comes after the revealing of Satan. So the following way, to me, that just does not match up for me. I'm just trying to simply look at the Scripture and how Scripture puts it out. That does not work for me. Now, can it be the church? This one's a little tougher. We know Paul says in the last days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We know that. So is the church going to fall away first, and then not the rapture, but the 70th week of Daniel begin? Then the man of sin is going to be revealed? To me, that fits a little better. A little better. Look at Romans 11, verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be, what? Cut off. Now, there's a term for the church. Can it be the church? So we have Romans 11, 20. He used the word cut off. There's another word also in there we got to pay attention to. Last part of verse 22. I'm sorry. Last part. Right in the wrong verse down. 22. But toward thee goodness, if thou continue goodness, otherwise thou, what? What's that next word? Also. The church is considered also in this category. You'll also, in like manner, you will be cut off. And what were they cut off as? A nation? They were cut off as a spiritual entity, the conduit of God, all those things. He says, you know what? It's going to be in the same manner if you become in unbelief and in a godless state as a church, the body of Christ. You also will be cut off. He also uses the word otherwise. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. Otherwise is likewise in like manner. In the same manner as Israel, this will happen to you too. Now those words are important. It says a lot. So to me, You look at Israel, they were cut off. Did they not exist? Did they disappear? They were on the scene. They didn't go to heaven. They stayed where? On earth. Now, they are an earthly people, but they had no power. They had a falling away early on. They had no political or any type of social status or spiritual status among the Gentiles anymore. They were completely cut off from God's dealing. Same way with the church. At the end of grace, grace can't enter into, the dispensation of grace cannot enter into the 70-week of Daniel, because we know that Israel's program, once again, is going to be instituted and begin the last week of Daniel. So we know the church will enter into that period in a unbelief, in an ungodly state. It's going to be cut off and brought in. Now, look at 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3. We're probably done early today. I hope you don't mind. 1 Timothy 3. This is just a 4. I'm 1 Timothy 4. In 1 Timothy 4, this is just a process in my mind, the scary darkness of my mind, processing through this. Trying to think how this is all playing out. Paul says something here. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, with God hath created to be received with thanksgiving, of them which believe and know the truth. So there's going to be some that will depart in the latter times. So in the latter times of grace, the church are going to depart. They're going to depart from truth. Now, he said in Romans 11, verse 22, if thou continue in his what? Goodness. That's his grace. You study that word out, goodness, it leads to his grace. And in his understanding of grace and how he's dealing with us, the truth of the gospel, if you continue in that, you're okay. You're not in unbelief. But if you don't, you depart from the truth. You depart from the truth. You're going to depart from his goodness and his grace. It just coincides with one another and how we think about that. Look at 2 Timothy 4 or 3. I always get those two mixed up. 2 Timothy 3, look at verse 1. This know also, that in the last days, so Paul begins, he says, in the latter times, he's there looking in the future, he said, now in the latter times, this is what you guys are going to, it's going to happen to this body. Now he says here in 2 Timothy 3:1, he talks about the last days. And I believe the last days are the result of this departure from truth. This is what the condition of the world is going to be. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men, this is the men of the world, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, tradey, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Man, that kind of stuff sounds familiar nowadays, doesn't it? And it is a result of the church in the latter times departing from the truth. The last days, mankind will fall into that category also. So we kind of paint a picture about this cutting off. It's a departure from the truth, the gospel. I'm kind of jumping around all over my notes here. Look at Romans 11. Romans 11. And we've already looked at Israel, why it can't be Israel. They're falling before the age of grace. And he'll continue that until he delivers Jacob from those troubles. The church is falling. We know they're cut off. Likewise, in the same manner, in the same way that Israel's cut off. They're cut off prior to a new dispensation. In Romans 11, let's look at that a little further. Romans 11, verse 11. Romans 11, 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall is come salvation unto the Gentiles to provoke jealousy. Now if the fall from the Gentiles, I speak you Gentiles, and I am the other Gentiles, defy this. For if by any means I am them which are flesh, and my son of them. How much for Israel during nothing? it is of their salvation, respect with the body of Christ. Those Jews of Matthew Paul, their fullness. Yet now I see through them. Even so, I also now believe that true mercy also stepped again to the church. The church is going to reflect this standing. But also, Mike Wharton, this fifth week of Daniel, the cessational for return, not promising of Jesus Christ. Because sadly, the church pulls the cross and says, we've been he's like man can't fair talk down. I still said this thing. No one deceive you by any means. You see what had just been said. Except an innocent son. What happened? Just for faith. First, okay. The first. Have a sin. The son of sin. Villain. Except him. Things for the day of Israel. They don't have this stuff. The drill. Isn't it so good to be laid off? We ask all of them. We're going to be part of the church of Anvil. They take the passage. The belief of what a dish want. Now, this only man of sand be pause, but I've heard he's the great can. What does he want us to pause and about? In all of color that's God. Jump inside. Sin wants the first time. The first second is pause. Time. Bow and close. Temple and the temple's burden. Who is it? And there's been a half away. He said here, but you got this, the tarot. And on the temple was the church prior to 1,000 years, and at least 7 years from now that it'll happen, or at least 7 years from now at this point, that Israel will be brought into existence again. Now, another thing to look at. Look at verse 8. This is in light of the falling away. Now we know verse 3 says there's two exceptions. Except first, what? The falling away. And the second thing, the man of sin revealed. And verse 8, read the first part of the phrase there. Then shall, what? Is there a revealing here? Verse 8. He's known as the Wicked One. Verse 8, the man of sin now is revealed. Now, we're not going to get into the Holy Trinity here. There's some stuff going on with the Trinity. He's represented in this passage. So, he's revealed. If the second thing is revealed, what has already happened in this passage? The falling away. So it's revealed within the passage. Look at verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be what? Were these people taken out of the way? 2,000 years ago? Is a church 3.5 years ago? Say if we're in the 70th week. Were they taken out of the way? Absolutely. They were taken out of the way. So we know that these two scenarios can't happen. But the man of sin is revealed. Verse 7 has to do with the first except. So the first thing is that he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then he shall be revealed. But there's one word in verse 7. We've talked about this a million times. Verse 7, there's two things in verse 7 you've got to always remember when you talk to people about this. For the mystery. There's a mystery. And who's talking about this? Paul. Who's revealing it? Paul. Paul is telling us it's a mystery. Nobody else. It's something we got to learn in this age. And he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. We know that he refers back to the man of sin. So there's a mystery about the man of sin that's working right now. So there's got to be a falling away first in the man of sin. He's got to be taken out of the way, out of the heavenly position that he sits in the heavenlies, commanding his forces to attack the church. There's a spiritual warfare, Ephesians 6. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. To me, after looking at this falling away and eliminating these other sources, it just flows. It just absolutely flows for me. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you who are quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, when in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that what? Now worketh in the children of disobedience. He's working in the Gentiles. He's working in the castaway Israel. And he's working to cast the church also. He said, he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. He who now worketh. The only thing I can find now that works now in this age is Satan. Sitting in the heavenlies in place of the temple. This is the great mystery right here in this verse. Matter of fact, what's interesting about it, what also Paul also says about a great mystery. What is the great mystery in 1 Timothy 3? The church, the body of Christ. We're the great mystery. We're the great temple. We're the temple of the church of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We are that temple. And he's sitting here causing havoc, spiritual havoc for us. Working in the children of disobedience, all those who are in unbelief and untruth, and eventually, sadly, in the latter times, the church is going to get caught up. They're going to get caught into the pleasures of this life. And we're going to fail to reach the masses. And the men are going to, in the last days, are going to be selfish, unworldly, ungodly, unthankful, and rejecting God. Do you know anybody who rejects God today that you once didn't? Oh, I know tons of them. It's ruling. We got movements in our government that are anti-God now in both parties. Not just one party, both parties. One party has more than the other, but it's there. Dave's in a battle of his life. Kind of, I always say, "Boy, Dave, why'd you want to do this? You're in world this critical race theory, all this atheism, all this anti-God in our school system there." Actually, he's doing exactly what he should be doing. Member of the church in there, fighting for the truth of God. Looking for that. But this falling away cannot be Israel. It cannot be the church based on Romans 11. It can't be the Gentile nations. They fell away at the almost day 7 or day 8 of our creation. And first murder happened. Bloodshed began. Rejecting God's commandments. They've been doing it for a long time. Israel's been doing it for the last 2,000 years. The church eventually is going to fall into that category. Be cut off. And the only mystery about the mystery of iniquity. This is not a mystery. And Israel's falling away is not the church is falling away is not a mystery either. It's just a fact that Paul reveals. The mystery is, the church is a mystery, but the fact that they shall depart from the faith, that's been going on in mankind since the world began. But the mystery here is that there is a temple in the heavenly, a position for the church, the body of Christ. The Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience is active, it's happening, and it's in the way of the church. I mean, that's what Paul says. There's got to be a falling away first before this guy can be revealed. He can't be revealed. Where is he going to be revealed at? That's what's interesting. Is he going to be revealed in flaming fire in the heavenlies? He's got to be on earth. And how are we going to get him on earth? Look at Revelation 12. Revelation 12. I bounce all around my notes. I don't even know where I'm at on my notes anymore. Revelation 12. Get Revelation 12. These are verses that we have gone over and over and over and over. That's why I'm getting burnt out with this. I feel like I keep quoting the same verses again. Revelation 12. Look at verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was there, what is it, place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil, and Satan, and deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. There was no place, there was an apostate. There was an apostate move for Satan. He went from one glorified position among his angels. And what happened? He was cast away to the second domain, where he fights for as the fight of his life. Look at Isaiah 14. Matter of fact, remember, when you read Isaiah 14... you can see him be called a man. You can see him be called Lucifer and the Antichrist, if you read the whole way through that. He's called three different things. The same antecedent being called three different things. It's the same way in 2 Thessalonians 2. Look at verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Where was he sitting when that happened? In the heavenlies. Where is he going to be saying that again? In the temple on earth. He doesn't give it up. He's going to say it again. Revelation 13 talks about that. 12 and 13. Verse 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee, and consider thy saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, and did shake the nations? In order for him to be cast into hell, where does he have to be cast from? Heavenlies. See, that's not a mystery either. But what is the mystery? He who now letteth will let. Now, we've had a conversation lately about the let and let. Let the word let be let. Okay, let's say that right. Allow it to happen. It's happening now in the age of grace. He's standing in the heavenlies, and any good right divisionist, anybody that understands anything about Paul, knows if it's now working in the heavenlies, you got to think, why is he there? That's where I'm going. That's the one thing that really got me on this issue about all the talks before I understood any of this. One of the arguments I saw Dan and Tracy talk about was, how are we going to be raptured into the heavenlies when Satan's his domain. And the excuse was, well, he's going to take us to the third heaven. Find that for me. Because when he comes, he's going to bring us up and bring those with. We're going to be there. When we die, we go there, but not raptured off the earth. We're taken right to a position. Satan's there. The great mystery in verse 7 is that he's in the way of the church. That's what that is. And he answers that. Verse 1, we're going to finish here. And we're going to close this for a while. We're going to go to something far different. I'm burning it out. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him. What two issues is He going to answer in this passage? By His coming and our gathering. In all the verses, in 2 Thessalonians 2, how does He answer our gathering? A mystery. He who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. He shows us a great mystery for the church that he's going to be taken out of that. We're going to be able to be gathered. When he then is then revealed, guess what? We're there just prior to that wrath. There's first got to be a falling away. Satan has to be out of there, and then we can get to this. Somewhere in between the end, we're out. We're out of there. So that is my 2 to 3 years worth of looking at this crazy passage. And I've changed this more times than I care to think about. And now I've got to write about it. And I'm really not looking forward to that. Are there any questions about anything I've ever taught about this? On this disagreements or anything, it doesn't bother me. Because I'm probably going to write some stuff down. I'm thinking, I don't agree with that anymore. All right, let's bow our hearts in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you once again for your word. We thank you for the accuracy of your word and for the compelling of your word that it influenced our thinking. And as we study every word, every mark that is in the word, that we depend on it as truth. As your word. And as we come to understand our future as members of the body in the heavenly places, that we look to please you and not man. And our Lord and Savior's name we pray. Amen.